The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete 3 Taylor from p3taylor.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
And today we're talking about minute 132. 132. Easy is what we do. It's minute 132 of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. 132 starts with the prop modelers and ends with the unit drivers. If you're going to model a prop, you better be prepared to drive a unit.
What if you want to prop up a model, though?
Oh, that's a whole different... You got to get a union guy for that. There's a bunch of Pete's and Peters in here.
Okay.
Under prop modelers, we'll come back to prop modelers. They appear first in the scroll, but we'll come back to prop modelers. Let's pin that for a second. Hold on to that. Animatronic designers, Pete Hawkins. And do you remember any significant animatronics in this? I guess the calamares.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably, you know, what about that, what's that lady who was in the cell with, that alien lady who for some reason was going to kill,
Nails,
going to kill Jonas.
What was her name?
Was like it? 20 million years ago.
Yeah. Nails. No, that's a Rodian bounty hunter. Oh, it wasn't Nails, right? It was just Nail.
Didn't she have aliases, too?
No, I'm into the... Wait, where is this? Where is she from? Yeah, she did have aliases. Ulan Musters. There we go.
Ulan Musters.
But I got distracted by Nails, nickname of a female Rodian bounty hunter who was hired by Taro Blood to get rid of his rival. Nails was inferior to the hunter and was killed in deadly fight. Come on. This is Rodian stereotyping.
Have there been any competent Rodians at this point? I guess like in the movies we've barely seen any, but
Wald Criata, you know.
Although Wald couldn't even do a high five.
Yeah, it's true. He doesn't count. I'm say the best one, the most competent Rodian that we've seen is Dodo Badanoido.
What about Ask-Ack
is he's a Gand. You mean Darwok?
Oh, Darwok, that's the one. He was Palpatine's secretary. Yeah. He has to be pretty good.
He was the Jonathan of the old Republic. Remember Jonathan?
Jonathan from 30 Rock. Yeah.
there's a handful. Point being, they should not be in the bounty hunting business. They should be musicians or you know, politicians.
I was just distracted by now recasting 30 Rock, like recasting Revenge of the Sith, but with 30 Rock people. And then I was like, oh man, imagine Tina Fey as Padme. That would have been awesome.
What is this from? What is this storyline that I'm looking at here? Oh, Star Wars, The Old Republic. What is that? A game? Video game? Yes.
Sounds like it.
SWTOR. I hear they have economics. animatronics designers, Pete Hawkins. Maybe Pete Hawkins, did you do Ulan Musters? Let us know. We've also got carpenters. Well, there's a supervising carpenter named Lee Biggs. So there's Biggs. Blasted Biggs, where are you? He's right there. Supervising carpenter.
I'm disappointed Nails wasn't a carpenter.
One of the other carpenters, Peter Duffy, D-U-F-F-E-Y. Is it Duffy?
The Duffman.
Here's another, here's a charge hand rigger, Peter Armstrong. A rigger, not a charge hand rigger, just a rigger, regular rigger. Regular rigger is Peter Ruggieri. Ruggieri, the regular rigger. Then on the greens team,
green Peter.
I would, if I was on the greens team for a Star Wars movie, I might push to have them have myself build as part of Green's squadron. But the greens team, I think we've got two. We've got Peter Hooper and Peter Manger.
Hooper.
We've got two unit drivers. Peter Hale and Mercer. Peter's Hale and
Mercer.
That must
be confusing.
Yeah. Who's picking you up? Peter. Like, all right.
Get Pete, the unit driver. Yeah. They probably called him Merce. And what was the other guy's
name? Hale. Get me Hale.
Have you ever gone by your, I don't remember if I ever asked you this. Have you ever gone by your last name? Has everyone ever called you by your last name as like your name? Like we do with Radke?
Not consistently, I don't think. Often it'll get portmanteaued into, I'll get, Peter Bonavita a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it flows better.
Yeah.
But, I don't think, I mean, maybe in sports a little bit, you know, I feel like I've heard like Bonavita take a lap a lot of times in my life because I was always doing something wrong. But,
I want you to sit down.
I don't know. I don't think, no, I'll say no. Mm. What about you? You're not just Robinson ever, right?
No.
Did I try calling you Robbie once?
Who called me that?
Me. I think.
You did?
I think I proposed that as a new thing. I was going to call you Robbie.
All right. I don't remember that, but I'm willing to, maybe we'll do that next season.
Well, I think I might've been at the end of a season like a while ago and then I forgot about it. I'm going to forget about it this time, too.
We should end every season with you saying, I'm going to call you Robbie from now on.
Right. We'll make all kinds of pledges for next season.
Yeah.
Just like, you know what? I'm going to make, it's like New Year's resolutions. And then 6 months from now, we'll just show up and forget everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
but going back to our prop modelers for a second,
mm-hmm.
We've got Peter Lee and we've got Pete Fielding. Now, Pete Fielding reached out to us because he was in the Star Wars Minute Listener Society. And he was like, hey, I'm excited for the guys to get to the credits this time. And if Pete points out the Pete's, I'm in there. I can't wait for him to say my name. So we're like, whoa. We're going to need more information than that. So we actually, we called up Pete Fielding and we had a little chat with him.
And it went a little something like this.
Hit it. All right, so we, as we said, I like pointing out the Peets and the Peters and et cetera in the credits. So we are here. We've got one live on the line. We're talking to Pete Fielding, who worked on Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I believe the credit that I saw was prop modeler. Is that what you were?
Yeah, that's what they put us on the credits. Prop modeler. We call ourselves prop makers, really. Our department is prop making, but. Yeah, prop modeler is, for whatever reason, the credit they get us.
Now, do I dare hope that these are actual, are you talking about physical models, or are these, like, is this wireframe stuff on the computer?
It's all real. It's all practical stuff, what we do.
That's awesome.
I mean, the physical props, so we do the things that the actors interact with, the things they pick up and hold and all the sets and stuff. From a model's point of view, as sort of historical ILM kind of models, that's not what we get involved with. But there's a few people old school real life model makers in the art department who do all the concept models and stuff. So for all the vehicles and sets and things like that. So I know a few of them, but right. Yeah, that's that kind of, you know, those vintage ILM model makers are few and far between now, I'm afraid.
What kind of stuff do you end up making? Like I'm trying to think of props that we saw in the movie, and there's so everything is, you know, there's a lot that we take for granted as far as props go, you know, things that don't exist in our universe that have to be made, but I can't, I'm trying to think of good examples. Can you throw out a couple of things that either you or people in your department worked on that were neat that stand out to you?
Yeah, so, Star Wars, I mean, from my point of view, it's pretty unique in that everything is made. So most, you know, most movies we work on, even genre movies, you know, a lot of the stuff is bought in, a lot of the stuff is existing. But for this, it's pretty much 100%. Even the stuff that gets bought in is all modified and hacked up and whatever. For Rogue One, it's literally everything. So the things that I did specifically on Rogue One. So our department's split between two sort of sub-departments, weapons and hand props, which is all the fun stuff, and then set deck, which is also fun stuff. Set decoration. Right. So for Rogue One and for The Last Jedi, I was in the set decoration half of our department, and I moved over for subsequent films. But so for Rogue One, I was I built a lot of chairs for Rogue One. It's exciting. Specifically the shuttle chairs that ended up being the Rogue One shuttle. Nice. And the sort of consoles and control panels and stuff like that. I mean,
consoles and control
consoles and control panels. I mean, so we have a team, a dedicated team of panel makers. I mean, those are the guys. Honestly, it's incredible. They have so many. There's so many, especially on all those Imperial sets. You know, dozens and dozens, hundreds probably. And it's, down to a few guys who, I'm not one of them, but down to a few guys who have to, just to keep track of all that, man. The logistics are incredible. all the sort of joysticks and buttons and all that sort of stuff. Did a lot of that on that first film.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So this movie specifically was very, obviously you guys, put in a lot of painstaking effort to recreate that 70s aesthetic. Do you remember like having to dig through, how did that kind of stuff work out?
Yeah, I mean, that was directly from Gareth early on. As far as I'm aware, obviously I'm a lot of levels below that, but it all comes down. But yeah, those we had boxes and boxes and boxes of arcade buttons, you know, the big sort of glowing arcade buttons that was all, yeah, it's exciting stuff. And I remember conversations about aspect ratios as well, you know, of all the stuff that we put inside the consoles and tablets and walls and everything, all the tablets and phones and whatever we used to make those all live, obviously all the wrong aspect ratio. So we had to swatch that all back to, you know, flip that all back to 70s TVs and monitors and stuff, which was, yeah, it was all fun. But I mean, it was all, again, a different department. You do all the graphics and everything that really bring those to life. It's incredible the stuff that they've done. That's so, I think that's a real skill, is trying to find something that's, you know, works in modern cinema, but also is reminiscent of the Star Wars stuff. That's incredible. But again, we didn't really do any of that. We just put iPads in the back of cabinets.
Go ahead.
Let's get back to the chairs for a second.
Sure.
Is that the kind of thing that you're modifying an existing product, or are you totally from scratch building a chair?
It differs from set to set, and even from designer to designer, you know, because the different sets have got sort of overseen by different designers. And some of them like the real world stuff. So for example, the Rogue One shuttle chairs, they were existing sort of ejection chairs from some aircraft that we just clad and dressed. And they had to be quite practical, because they were sort of on a gimbal rig. So we had to bolt that all down to the bottom of the set. And they had to have real life practical harnesses and stuff so that the actors didn't get thrown around too much. So those had to be sort of pretty structurally sound and safe. So that was sort of cladding a lot of those. But in, you know, other things, we built from scratch. We have different sort of different levels of design. I'm trying to think of an example of one that we built from scratch. Some in the Last Jedi, the ship that they steal from the from Canto Bight. Oh, you haven't got that yet, have you? Oh, spoilers. Anyway,
that sounds intriguing. I can't wait for that.
I know, right? There's a Canto Bight. What's that? What could that be? It's going to be great. there were some chairs in that. Anyway, that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. There were some chairs in that we built from the ground up.
Are you proud and happy when you see your, like, oh, that's the chair I spent, you know, all that time fixing? Or do you not notice it? First of all, do you go see the movies that you've worked on, or is it kind of like the magic is over once you know how the sausages are made?
You would think so, but not for me. I grew up Star Wars, so this is all, it was dream come true. It's still four films later, and I'm knowing full well how the sausage was made, it's still pretty magic.
You're dealing with one very specific part of the sausage being made, so you probably don't even know what the rest of the sausage is going to look like, right? I imagine.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's. It's so vast.
They try to keep everything on the secret so that people don't leak anything.
Absolutely. But even just three benches down, you know, the guy who, you know, you have tea with at coffee time, but almost have no knowledge of what he's doing, you know. It's a funny thing, these ones, because they're just so vast, and it's so, you know, turnaround times and everything is quite intense, so you've got to just get things in and out. There's so much in the workshop at any one time. It's pretty unique productions, really, these ones.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, I mean, as far as the chairs go,
please.
I did a few other bits as well, but mostly it was chairs. My HOD called me the chairman after the second one, because I did a lot of chairs on that one, so I could live with that. They were worse names.
They're always going to use chairs in movies, that's the thing.
Well, this is it. Everyone needs to sit down. When the trailer for Rogue One came out, there was a shot of K2 in the chair flying it, and it was pretty magic. That was the first time I'd seen anything. You know, in the Star Wars trailer, that was fun.
Yeah, I got. Well, I was looking at your credits, your IMDb, and it's We're going to have to keep having you back, it looks like, because this was the first one that you worked on, and then you've worked on the other one since then. So
I have, yeah.
The other Star Wars. And you also check off a box because you worked on Doctor Who also, it looks like.
That's true, I do. I didn't work on...
You made some stuff.
I didn't work on Superman, I'm afraid.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I did a lot of Doctor Who, actually. Yeah, it was fun. It's kind of where they gave my first real gig, I suppose.
Right.
People at Millennium FX, shout out to them. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different world. A lot less money. A lot less time. But it's fun. It's a much smaller team, so you get to do a lot more. You know, you sort of, from the sort of conceptual stages all the way through to finishing, which is fun. On the bigger productions, you know, you sort of have a piece of a thing. So you build a thing, or we in our department build a thing, and then it generally goes off to get painted, then it comes back and we dress it a bit more, and you know, all that sort of stuff. But on those, on those little BBC productions, sounds really patronizing. It's not. It's a big BBC production, but
right.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. Well, yeah, it's all relative.
It's a funny thing that, you know, the Doctor Who episodes from this millennium, if I can pardon the pun, you know, look leaps and bounds ahead of what it used to look like. And yet, like, the budget scale is probably similar. You know, it's just, it used to cost so much more to do things. And now it's like, well, we can make all this cool stuff in the computer, but it's still, you know, we still need a lot of physical things, but then we can kind of put it all together and it ends up looking a lot better than it did. But then kind of relative, you know, the whole scale has changed. So now it's still low budget, but it works so much. There's a lot more tools that we can use, you know, with 3D printing and 3D, you know, modeling and all this other stuff that we can just do, like, oh, okay, we can, for less, we can make more, but it's still low budget in a fun way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of the charm of the Doctor Who stuff. I had about 3 seasons worth of building on Doctor Who. So it was sort of the last few episodes for Matt Smith, and then through most of Peter Capaldi. Yeah, it was fun. Right. I did a nice half a Davros rig where he gets torn out of his chair. That was quite fun.
Mm.
Do you don't get to keep the chairs when you're done with these projects, right?
Sorry, you get to keep anything?
Do you get to keep the chairs that you build? Are they like, okay, we don't need these anymore? And
alas, no. No, those chairs got a lot of use. They got recycled a lot of times. They're in various cockpits and rigs throughout the other movies as well. No, everything is locked down and stashed away and chipped and logged, and yeah, most of it's I don't know, I guess back at the ranch now. I'm not sure. It's probably not actually. It's probably in a big warehouse somewhere around here. But
like somebody working on, you know, a little, you know, a comm link or you know, some kind of rank insignia or something like that, it's a lot easier for them to just like sneak it into their pocket and walk out. But if you're working on like a, you know, console chair, and you can't just walk out with that.
Yeah, chairs and big industrial drills and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was hoping you guys to keep them so that when we go visit and we go to your house, like your whole dining room, each chair will be a different Star Wars chair.
Yeah, that would be nice.
From a different era too.
No, like I say, when you're on the subsequent films and they come back in the door and they've been resprayed, you're like, oh, some old friends. It's nice. But
you get a royalty every time they use it, right?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be nice. No, alas, no. But yeah, the later films, I was moved over to hand props and weapons, which was it's a lot of fun.
Any weapons we should keep our eyes open for in the upcoming films that would be like, oh, that's a Fielding original.
So we were sort of a team of maybe 6 or 7, the hand props and weapons. So our supervisor sort of doled us out, you know, 2 or 3 weapons each per movie, which was our sort of baby. And then we all sort of worked on various aspects of, you know, because we've got 80 trooper rifles to make, so we've all got to work through those and have all different versions. But yeah, we were given sort of specific ones. So for Solo, what did I have for Solo? It was I made a big sort of rocket launcher thing for Warwick Davis for Weasel. which was nice. Yeah, there's a few versions of that. That was a big, heavy thing because it had to be, it all had to be aluminium and steel because they wanted to put a pyro in it, shoot a real sort of firework out the end. So that was a big, heavy thing that he apparently really enjoyed having. I don't know. I didn't see him on set, but my the baby on Solo was Lando's blaster, shiny aluminium, all hand polished, mother of pearl in the grip. That was lovely.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, probably made it just like publicity photos and stuff too.
It's all in the publicity photos, barely in the movie, but that's all right. It's off in the way. I did some stuff for Val as well on that one. She had a little grappling hook that went in the end of her thing. That was sort of fun. But yeah, again, lots of various bits and bobs in between. And then on the latest one, I got to play with a lightsaber, which was fun.
So how does one get in? How did you wind up in this line of work?
So I did a degree and then just went out work experience. Did a lot of stuff in museums. Did some product design, model making. It took a while to sort of break in, but as with anything, it's who you know. It's word of mouth and it's just slogging away.
But obviously, working on a Star Wars film has to be like the among the top thing. I mean, obviously you work for different departments and stuff, but getting, you know, Star Wars has to be near the top of what in this field, right? Pardon the pun.
I would say so. I mean, it depends on your taste, but yeah, it was certainly at the top of my list. Sure. Yeah. Not everybody's us. Yeah. But there are a lot of us, which is good. It's good to know. Like I said, certainly top of my list. But there's, for prop maker, which is what I am, it's a candy store, isn't it? It's amazing. Even just the stuff coming in that you don't really have anything to do with, just being in the room is amazing.
It's like a Santa's workshop, but for Star Wars.
Yeah, it really, really is. You never know what's going to come in the door, which is great.
So, thanks for being our guest today, Pete. Pete the Retailer, you have any further questions for our guest?
There's probably a million things that I could ask, but I can't think of any right now. So we'll have to if you'll have us, we'll probably in 6 months or so or a year, whatever, we'll probably want to call you up again once we get to the end of what do we got up next? Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've loved lots of chair questions.
Well, now we're going to keep our eyes specifically open to see him too. We're going to like make notes of chairs that we see. Like that's got to be a Fielding original.
Yeah.
The last shot of this one has some of my chairs in it, in fact. So I did the Tantiv chairs as well. Tantiv. Oh, right. It's a Tantiv now, isn't it? Right. Tantiv 4 chairs. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that was fun. Again, they get resprayed and they're used somewhere later in later films. But, yeah.
Mm.
You can track them. It's a whole thing.
Well, dude, they would. It's probably, in continuity. The Rebellion would probably reuse a lot of scraps and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. Yeah.
Exactly.
It rhymes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Pete, for joining us. That was really that's really cool. It's it sounds like a fun place to do, a fun job to have, which is good. I'm always worried that somebody the jobs that sound cool and you talk to somebody that does it and like, oh god, it's torture. But I'm glad you're having fun.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is fun. Mostly it's fun. It's hard. It's long days. It's stressful.
It's a job,
Yeah.
It's a job, but it's still Star Wars, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's. Thanks again. Thanks so much for joining us here, and we will kick it back to Pete and Alex back in the studio. All right. So thanks, Pete Fielding, for alerting us to your presence and calling in and telling us about chairs. We will we'll keep an eye on your career. Obviously I plan on calling you up again in about a year or so to
talk about some Last Jedi business.
And also, well, like he only called himself to our attention because he knew we were going to be talking about the Peets in the credits. So just in case anyone out there also happened to work on the movie, don't wait until we're singling out your name to you know, raise your hand. Let us know. We'll talk to anyone who worked on the movie. So doesn't just have to be Peets.
Don't try to trick us into buying you drinks saying you were a stormtrooper, though. Fool me once.
Yes.
Theoretically, we've got three people involved in the film lined up for next season already. So
we do.
That's good stuff.
That was a question mark at the end of that. We do. We had two this season. Intense. That was best. We already doubled the number of people we've had who've appeared in the movie or worked on it.
That's pretty much all I had for this minute. All Pete. This is a Pete centric minute. I'll let you do some more tomorrow. You can talk about some non Pete stuff tomorrow if you want.
Might bother.
Listeners, if you want to, the hiatus is coming up. I think starting at the end of this week, we're going to start making our trip through the James Bond movie catalog, whatever that's called. Catalog, oeuvre, collection. What do they call it on the box set? The James Archives? Bond collection. It's called the James Bond collection on the box set that I bought. So, we will be working our way through that release order, obviously. So,
what's first, Doctor No?
Yes, Doctor Yes. And that'll be on the Patreon. If you want to support us on Patreon, that's pretty much the only place where we'll be for most of the next 6 months. We might drop a couple of hiatus episodes in the feed, the main feed, in between now and then. But largely, if you want to hear us talk about James Bond and various other stuff. Why not go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, PATREON, and that for a low monthly contribution, you have access to bonus stuff, and we'll start doing some more, throw some extra perks in there, see what's up, and do that. But don't forget, we've still got two more episodes to go this season here on Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.